that's come in here for the last couple of Sundays, and you can raise your hand. Has it been different to what you've been experiencing in other places? Yeah? Eh? I've had a couple of chats with some guys. Maybe you've been in other churches and you've been in other congregations and you go, listen, this is different. Why is it different? Have you asked that? And maybe you've looked and you've seen certain things that we do, certain things that we lay emphasis on, and you go, why do you do that? So I want to ask you, even if you've been in this congregation for 18 years, and I know there's only three people that's been here for 18 years, so that was a... But even if you have been, do you have any questions? Do you have... You know, we can so often think about coming to church and, you know, what does the typical church look like? Have you wondered that? If you go to any church around the world, you know there's probably going to be some guy welcoming everybody, announcements of what's happening in the life of the church. And I haven't been to many other churches lately, so I'm trying to think what happens at other churches. There's definitely going to be worship. The worship could be completely, often it's maybe 1, 2, 3 songs max. Cut that, going to someone sharing a word of God, which is going to be incredible because it's the word of God. And then you go home. Am I right? It's okay. We can talk this morning. It's church. We don't have to be quiet. Eh? Sometimes you have coffee. Sometimes not. There's different things. And for me, this what I'm wanting to this morning is to explain the why. And for you to think about questions. What have you noticed? Maybe you've been in home groups. Maybe you've been to some of our training times or gatherings or anything around Josh Jean. And I want you this morning to have the liberty. This is that one morning. No, I'm joking. I'm just joking. But what are the questions? What are the things that you go, hey, I've been taught this, but now I'm seeing that. And I remember coming out of a church many years ago, and coming into Josh Jean, and I was in a very charismatic church, very charismatic. There were prophecy, there was prophecy, there was tongues, there was Holy Spirit moving. But I remember coming, but how I went to church every Sunday was with a suit and a tie. That was how we went to church. I was part of a movement called the IFCC. Rhema was the Rhema back in the day, and everybody went with a suit and a tie. And I remember coming to Josh Jean, I'm going, there's a guy with his baggies, he's got long hair till his bum, probably he didn't shave for like three months, you know. He literally looked like Jesus. I was like, Jesus, is that you? But you know what I found? I found God. I was in a church, but I came out, and I remember walking out of that other church saying, God, I love you, but like I don't want to be part of your church, because there was things there that didn't make sense. There were things that I read in the Bible that was going against what God was doing. There was people in other churches that used to tell me what to do, not walk a road with me. And what I found back in the day, Josh Jean, that was Josh Jean, was we were probably like 100 people. It was smaller than this. At the Leibrand van Niekerk Hall at the bottom of Bloberg Road. And you know what? I found God, man. Found the Holy Spirit. But I remember the wrestle within my mind and within my heart where I went, God, you are here, but why do they do that? God, you are here, but that thing there, I don't know how I'm going to do that, you know? So now the guy wants to have coffee with me. I'm going like, why doesn't he want to have coffee with me? No one's ever asked me out for coffee. And then he asked me all these personal questions. I'm like, bro, I just want to follow Jesus on my own. He goes, well, you can't do that. Okay, how do I? So that's the picture I want to paint you guys this morning. Like, there's no, you know, in school, I don't know, maybe in school's different, but the teachers should say there's nothing like a stupid question. That's what a teacher should tell you, okay? Teacher, why is 1 + 1 2? Okay, try and answer that question. That's a very difficult question. But there's nothing like a stupid question. And in the house of God, we're family. We often sit with our girls. We often sit with, and we talk about things of the of church, and not just church, but life. There's nothing like a stupid question. If it's too hard for you, go like, listen, I'm not going to take the mic and ask my question. Please WhatsApp me. My number is 076-900-8986. You're welcome to WhatsApp me, and I'll anonymously read it. Okay. But this morning, I just felt again, why are we doing this? Remember 3 weeks ago with that marathon that was happening here? And I'm sitting, and I remember all these people running. And the Lord stopped me as I was about to come and preach that Sunday and said, Barent, pause. And I feel this is part of that pausing that God is busy doing in our hearts. Because we can experience God and not always know why we're experiencing what we're experiencing. And everything for us is the whole time. How do we base everything we do on the Word of God? The Word of God is the most important for us on this side. And then the Holy Spirit is the most important for us on this side. Isn't the Bible like that? The Bible teaches you how to walk a tightrope holding many truths that seem to contradict each other in balance. And I think that for me this morning is I want to help each one of us settle things in our heart through sharing a little bit about what I believe God is doing at the moment, but at the same time for us to go, hey, I've actually wondered, why do you guys meet on a Wednesday night? What's that all about? Or whatever it is. Is that okay? Okay. So the elders stood up earlier. So I don't have all the answers. Remember, Dylan's got all the answers, okay? For those of you that are visiting us, Dylan is one of our leaders. It's just it's a joke, but it's not a joke. It's like, you know. but we don't. As you know, I might actually start there. What does the church look like? According to the Bible. The Bible says elders are there that God has placed over the flock that he has entrusted for a season, to you. And our job, honestly, our job as elders is to lay down our lives for you. Our job is to pray for you. Our job is to consider you. Our job is to find and every single person that God has entrusted to us. Lord, what do you have for this person? What do you have for that person? We talk about you. Oh, boy. Especially Stuart. I'm just joking. But we do. Okay, parents. Okay, and again, I want to just quickly, so I'm not balancing everything straight out. Okay, we're going to get to that. Let me quickly go back from the start. So I'm running ahead of myself. So what I'd love to do is this morning, if you've got questions, please get them ready. We're going to go there. But I do want to lay a foundation just on what we believe and what we see in the Word of God as elders, and not just elders, what I've been taught over the last 20-odd years being in Josh Den. And this is, like for me, is Josh Den the only church? No, definitely not. There are many other churches that are building the way God wants them to build, finding God. But for me, God put me here. Am I convinced? 100%. Is this the best church in the world? 100% for me. Without a doubt. I don't know about you. That you've got to decide. You know? I can tell you now, my daughter's saying the house that God put them in, it's amazing, eh? Yeah. It's the best house they could ever choose, you know? But we get born into family. And the Bible actually says that God puts us into family. God puts the lonely into family. So for me, for you to be here, that's what I'm saying, it's not by chance. Has God put you into this family? And that's something you've got to work out. Like, I can point some people and I know God has put you here. But it's something you've got to work out. And why is that important? So can you put up Timothy quickly for me? Timothy, the first scripture, 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 to 5. So who of you would agree with me that we are living in what I really recognize as could be the last days? Okay? And why? The Bible actually shows us what the last days will look like. So it's important for us to realize the times of God, the times and the seasons we are in. There's a scripture in Numbers where it talks about the sons of Issachar. And the sons of Issachar knew the times and the seasons of God. And Jesus himself said, he says, I don't call you strangers anymore. I call you my friends. And I share with my friends what I'm going to do. Have you ever read that in Matthew? I think it's in Matthew 8, somewhere there. So we are. There's this tension we've got to have with our relationship with God, where he's our Savior, and we recognize he loves us, he's for us, he's with us. At the same time, he's our Lord and our King, where he goes, obey me, I love you, obey me. That's a hard tension to carry. Who's wrestled with that? God asked you something that is hard, or he might have disciplined you, which is hard, like myself. I've been disciplined in church. Another story for another time. But I thank God for those moments, because God says he disciplines those that he loves. So we've got this tension that we have in a loving father friend in Jesus. What a friend I found in Jesus. But at the same time, a Lord, a King, who is everything. Okay. So with that in mind, these tensions, we understand that in the last days, this is what it's going to look like. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. So who's experienced times of difficulty? So now, times of difficulty isn't when, you know, you like 1,000 rand short for the month or 10,000 rand short for the month. That's just money. Times of difficulty is like coming against the spirit of this age. It's not as easy anymore to be a Christian like it used to be. Am I right? Like, who's a little bit scared to be a Christian? You know? Should be. Look at what's going on. People are literally getting assassinated for their faith. Not in Istanbul, Turkey, or whatever those places. In America, the land of the free. So I heard this week that I think it is close to 9,000 Christians were martyred for their faith in the DRC. Quickly put that into perspective. 9,000 Christians martyred for their faith this last month in the DRC. Just this one month. So it's difficult to be a Christian, and that's what that talks about. Okay. And then it turns where I believe we as a Western culture and our mindsets and who we are, this is where many of us find ourselves. But for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. Just stop there quickly. That's the world we live in. You know what the most function is on a cell phone nowadays? Selfie camera. Okay, be honest with me quickly. If a group photo was taken at a wedding, who's the first person that you look for on that photo? Me, myself, and I, the evil trinity. Is it true? We are so absorbed with ourselves. We want to, hey, how do I look? Gym membership is through the roof nowadays. Those, like, you know, who's been getting those algorithms? Maybe it's me because I've been trying to get fit. We've been getting those algorithms about stretching and fitness, and yeah, Nate is going, I'm getting it. Yeah, you see, all the gym guys are getting it. But what is it? We want to look good. If I take a photo of a group of youth girls right now, this is what will happen. Am I right? Am I right? How do I look good? My head's got to be tilted a certain way. I got to look slay, like, you know. Who knows what slay means? Eh? My face eight. Who knows what that means? That's a new thing. That means you're super cool. Okay? Oh, sorry, I said it wrong. Sorry. My daughter is crashing right now, just so that you know. I was waiting for that moment. Okay. But honestly, think about it. We are lovers of self. Your life, is it about someone else? Because what did Jesus do? He says, take on, in Philippians, be this just like Jesus, taking on the image of man, being equal with God, humbling himself, becoming nothing, saying, God, I want to be who you are. I want to be who you want me to be, and living for others. Lovers of money. Everything goes around money. And look at some of those words. Sorry, Rob, just put that back on verse 2. What are some of the other things? Just the one before that. Proud. It was proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents. If you look at that, it actually means disobedient to authorities. Never in the world has there been a time like this where people have got the liberty and the freedom, or think they've got it, just to say what they want to say against people in authority. Teachers in this school, how hard is it to be a teacher? You know, and I think for me, it's a picture of where the world is at. And then God comes and he says, you are different. And so this morning, as we're looking at this, this is what God is going, it's going, why are we different? To understand why we do what we do. So just quickly going to read on verse 3. Heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. In verse 5, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people. So you know who that scripture was written to? The church. That's scary. It's not even the world. The world are all those things. Listen, if you're in the world and you're a sinner, be the best sinner you can be. Come on, man. Go for it. And I truly pray that somewhere on that journey you find God. But if you're a child of God, be the best child of God you can be. Be the best Jesus follower you can be. Follow him. Lay down your life. So we've got to understand the times that we're living in. And so with that in mind, as elders, we come together and we say, God, what are you wanting to do with those that you've entrusted with us? We can't just come and do our own thing. Because who am I? I'm literally nobody. Literally, my life means nothing. Because I've laid down my life. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And for him, and to follow him in these times, in a church, in a world where the church is becoming like that, unholy, disobedient, slanderous. And I think for us to realize why we as elders find God and go, Lord, I don't want to just come and preach my next revelation or my next little thing. I'm going, God, what do you have for your people? Because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And what that looks like is a Sunday as elders who's God entrusted for a season, maybe for eternity. I'm here until I die or the Lord moves me. But I want to be found faithful in God's house to do what he asked me to do. And then for us as a people, God has called every single one of you here, chosen you to be here. And he's got a purpose and a plan for your life. And to work with us as elders, to go, what is your calling? If you're just here, to be honest, to warm a seat on a Sunday, this is not the church for you. And I said it with the greatest love and honor, because you were made for a reason. You've got a purpose. You've got a destiny. You've got a plan that God has spoken over your life. And how do you find that? Is with the body, with those that God has knitted you together. And yes, as it means sometimes you'll move, sometimes things happen, for sure. But God's got a plan for your life. And how do we walk that out with you? How do we as elders, in 2 Corinthians, he says, do not lord it. He's speaking to leaders. Do not lord it over their faith. So don't tell people what to do. I've got no authority in your life except that which you give me. Andrew has got no authority over my life except what I give him. I've given him all authority over my life. If Andrew asks me now, pack up and move, I'll go. not out of a fear, not out of anything, because I'm a man under authority. I've placed myself under authority willingly. Said, God, it's no longer I that live. I recognize that you've put men like Monet, like Russell, like Andrew, like Jonathan Conrath, like Jonathan Stansfield, Chris Staples, over me, because they love me. They only want what's best for me. Any one of those guys, and I want to say any one of the elders, deacons here, I put myself under authority, going, God, the reason why I do that is because I understand that my life belongs to him. If they get it wrong, it's their problem. They're going to answer in front of the Lord one day. So how do you live your life? As someone under authority? Or someone that's 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. So why do we do the things we do? We want you to love God, to honor him, to obey him. But we know that we need to teach one another. In 2 Timothy 4, can you put that up quickly? Thanks, Rob. 2 Timothy 4. So Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word of God. We preach God's word, man. That's who we are. We are people that preaches God's word. Sometimes on a Sunday, sometimes on a Wednesday, most definitely Monday to Saturday. It's not about Sundays. This Sunday is an overflow of what's happening in the week. This is a gathering. This is coming together. Why do we start 10 minutes past 9 every morning? Have you wondered that? It's not so that you can wake up 10 minutes to 9 and go, oh, I've got another 10 minutes. Uncle John was here this morning, 8:30 for the prayer meeting. You quickly see the shift in a heart posture because it's about getting together. It's about not neglecting the gathering of the saints. I can't wait to see you guys, man. And I'll be honest with you, before I led, before I was an elder, before I was a deacon, I couldn't wait to see you guys. You can ask my wife. We were there Sundays. We had two Sundays in Sunningdale back in the day. We went to both services, morning and evening, every single Sunday. Ask my girls, what is our most highest priority before we were elders, before we were leaders, was this. We've given ourselves to the church. Because I'm going to spend eternity with you guys, not with the guys out there. So I want to get to know you, man. Okay, let me move on. So, why do we do what we do? Why the last couple of Sundays look differently? Because Jesus told us to. So there's a scripture in, sorry. I'm going all over the place. Is that okay? Sorry. Is that elders? Are you guys okay? Everybody okay? Anybody got a question so far? Who's going to break the ice? No. Reggie.
The Old Testament is so powerful. And one of the things of the Old Testament is to respect God. And God will respect you. Everything you do, when you look at God, he will give it to you. And so much more. And this is my thing. I've been coming to George Jane for quite a while. And I gaan dit nou man Afrikaans sê. Ek kom nie vir koekies nie. Ek kom nie vir koffie nie. Ek kom om te leer. En ek kan nie vir jou sê hoe dik is nie. But this is my thing with you guys when it comes to respect. Respect begins with self. En as jy die Ou Testament gaan lees, daar was 'n klomp van die Israeliete. Hulle het in opstand gekom teen God. In 'n oogwink toe is daar een gat in die grond. En 2000 van hulle val in die gat. Dis soos, maak op, maak toe, maak koffie. Toe is hulle weg. As, if we come and we sit here, this is from me to you. When Baron to whoever leads that morning, or somebody to come and pray, can we please be quiet? Dit druk so op my hart. En julle moet weet, ek is baie lief vir julle. Ek is so lief vir julle. Want ek moet eendag voor God gaan staan oor julle. En ek moet, ek dink, 2/3 van die hemel gaan Josh Jane wees, maar that's besides. Okay? That's besides. But please, please, let's honor God in prayer here. And just be quiet. Want as jy stil is, dan sal jy God hoor. Baie dankie.
So one of the values, again, like we're building values, not laws. You know what the difference between a value and a law is? Values is the way we live. It's what's important to us. I often say, show me your calendar and show me your bank statement and I'll know what your values are. You know? What do we live for? And that thing that Reggie says is actually one of our values. There's honor in the house of God. There's a way that we respect one another and we live for one another. And God has actually come and he's teaching us honor and respect. The Bible actually says, outdo one another in giving honor. Outdo one another in respecting. Count others more valuable, higher than what yourself, who you are. It's a different way, hey? So one of my things that we often as elders, we come together and say, God, show us your ways, what Moses says. Because there's certain ways that we've got. And I think for me, it's to understand God's ways, to walk in them. Moses said that. He said, God, if I found favor with you, Exodus 33, verse 11. God, if I found favor with you, show me your ways that I may walk in them so that I can find favor with you. Isn't that beautiful? So who wants favor with God? Okay. Got to walk in his ways. Got to understand his ways. Okay. And that's what we're trying to do, not just on a Sunday, but every single day of the week, why we do what we do. Okay, so values. What are some of the values? So I've just mentioned 9 o'clock. Church actually starts at 8:30. Sorry, there's a fly. What was that? It was my ninja move. Did you see that? And we're family, man. You know, I don't think we understand often family the way like God actually, he says, you know, Acts 2 verse 42 to 47. I'm going to say that just now. We'll put it up on the board because that's where Josh Jen was birthed out of. It was like, it's a picture. It's of us, what church looks like. That's not what we're aiming for. Just if you've heard that before, just want to clarify. We don't aim for Acts 2 verse 42 to 47. Acts 2 verse 42 to 47 happens as we are in Jesus, as we are rooted in him. Our aim is for every single one of us to be in Jesus, to be abiding in him, to be led by him, to be full of him. That's the aim. And if we do that, I can guarantee you Acts 2 verse 42 to 47 will happen. Who knows? You want to hear that quickly? Acts 2 verse 42. Let's quickly look at that. There we go. And this will happen if we are found in him. They, who are the they? Us. We devote ourselves to the apostles' teachings. So I do want to say, the apostles' teachings is the word of God. We always go back. What did Paul, Peter, John, what did they say? The early apostles. But more than that, God has given in Ephesians 4, verse 12, 11 and 12, gifts to his church. And one of those gifts are men who's got an apostolic grace upon their lives. They don't change what the word of God says. They don't go against it. They're not better than anybody. Actually, true apostles even more than elders, lay down their lives. They've got a grace to build the kingdom of God and the house of God. They are not better than anybody else. And before they're an apostle, they're a brother. But the world wants to break that thinking. Even people in church want to break that thinking. I want to say, I devote myself to Andrew's teachings. I devote myself to Chris Staples, to John Stanfield's, always forget, Brad Verena, Mike Davies. These guys have got a grace upon their life that I don't have. And I give myself. So before I go listen, and again, this is something you've got to work out. Before I go listen to other preachers or find other things, I go find out, what are those people that God has put over me? What are they saying about a topic? Before you go find out about whatever topic there is in Christian circles, have you asked an elder? Have you asked a deacon? Because they're going to give an account. Now you go listen to someone else who might just be one degree off. And can we be one degree off? 100%. But you know us. You know our way of life. You know who we are. You've been with us. So we devote ourselves. Firstly, because I'm in Jesus. He's my everything. But I see the way that is. I do it willingly. Make sense? They devote themselves to fellowship. And not just the 10 minutes before church. Fellowship. You know what fellowship is? It's this. It's us. It's together. I don't have all the answers. Listen, if you need a medical advice, please don't come to me because I'm not the expert. But we do have experts. Hane, Ilse, to a degree, totally. Well, she's like, please don't ask me. I'm a mom now. But honestly, we do. Like, there's experts. And even in the Christian circles, there's experts. There's guys that I know, if there's a difficult question about whatever, I'm not even going to make up something because then you're going to ask me. I go to Mike Davies and I say, Mike, explain this to me. Because there's a grace upon his life to just explain these things. Devote themselves to fellowship. Breaking of bread and the prayers. And we do that. And it's not just on Sundays. It's when we get together. Because there it goes. And awe came upon every soul. So who's the last couple of Sundays had those moments of awe? Yes, God, you hear. Awe of God, of what he's busy doing. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. We've seen signs and wonders here. We've seen people getting healed. We've seen that. And then it goes on and it says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. One of the things I love about us in Melkbos, we've literally sold possessions to care for one another. Have you done that? Because that's true love. If someone's in need, we look after one another, belong to God. But you see, this happens when you're rooted and your aim is to be in Jesus. So coming back to the values, why do we do what we do? It's because we want to be a people that God can come and make his home in, and not just a preaching center or anything like that. Okay, where to from here? Who's got a question? Yes.
If one, or myself, or one, wanted to follow the Lord and do all he has called you to do, where would you start? And is it all about seeing how often you can show up? Or how will you know that you're on the right path and you've done your best and tried your best?
Very good question. You get that question? How do you know you're on the right path? I remember after being a youth pastor for 5 years, walking away from church, coming back into Josh Gen, I sat with Andrew. I said to him, Andrew, how do I know that I won't mess it up again. What do I do? And you know what the answer is? It's the sum of the whole. You know what that means? It's not just one thing. It is to understand the ways of God. God, firstly, it's your assurance of salvation. How often on a Sunday do I go, because this is the most important, do you know that you know that you know you belong to Jesus? Do you know? Like if now you get a heart attack and you drop dead, where will you be? Do you know that you will be in heaven? Do you know that you will be eternity with him? Because that is the most, that is why Jesus came. That is the most important thing. Every single Sunday, without a doubt, we will ask people that question. That's why we're here. So I want to say, bring your friends, man. If they're not saved, bring them, because that's the most important. But then it is starting, the Bible says there's a moment that we go, Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner. I recognize that you died on the cross. Your blood comes, and a moment that we are born again, the Bible speaks of. We are born again. When we are born again, instantly, I don't know how it works. One day we'll recognize it. We'll see it in the spiritual realm. Our souls become alive. Our spirit is new. We are a new creation, the Bible says. The old is gone. The new has come. Jesus has taken everything that you've done wrong. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's murder, rape, whatever you've done. Whatever you've done, Jesus takes it away. A white lie. He takes it away. No matter what. But then it becomes the walking out, what you're talking about. Now what? I'm a Christian. What do I do? I think if babies could speak, they would go, I'm in this world. What do I do? And what do babies do? They make known when they need something, you know? But what do? They trust their parents without even knowing. They are totally, totally surrendered to their parents' ways. Totally. And I think that's the thing. If you come and you become a Christian, you go, what is my next step? Trust those that God has put over you. Not that we're your parents. Don't hear what I'm saying. We're not your parents. But there's been somehow a grace and an authority given to us, to each one of you, to walk in the ways of God. And if we do that right, walking with you, you will mature in the ways of God. It's called sanctification. There's a sanctification process. There's a process. I know, for example, my wife used to smoke, I think, 2 packets of cigarettes a day before she got saved. She got baptized at that moment. When she got baptized, she hasn't touched a cigarette. That was a miracle for some guys. Who would love that if all your sin was gone in an instant, you know? That would be amazing. But God doesn't do that. There's a sanctification. I know some guys struggle with swearing. Some guys struggle with whatever it is. But you overcome. To he who overcomes, the crown of life is given. There's a walking out of our faith, sanctifying every moment. That's where I go. Who cares what people think if I respond every single Sunday to something or call? I will still respond. If Jesus puts something in my heart and go, that thing, I'm like, God, I'm the first to respond. Please forgive me. Purify me. I'm so sorry. Who cares? Because it's about him. Make sense? But that's what you do. You keep your heart soft. You don't harden. You are teachable, open to correction. Meet with people. Have you ever asked someone in your life, what at the moment is stopping me to become everything that God wants me to be? When last have you asked someone that question? What attitude in my life is stopping me to be like Jesus? What mannerisms are stopping me to become like Jesus? Because that's ultimately what it's about. Does that answer your question? So again, it's a sum of the whole. Understand. Be found in the Word of God. Trust God. Pray. Even if your prayer is, God, I don't know what to pray for, but I pray for today. I pray, Lord, that you would lead me, guide me, show me your ways. That prayer, God will show you. Hear his voice. The Word of God. Study it. Get into it. Pray. So we don't say these things because we go, listen, you got to, it's for your own sake. And when you find something in the Word of God that you don't understand, like giving your money to the church, That's a big question. But you know what? We've grappled with these questions. And we can show you in the Word of God what that looks like. We've grappled with the questions that are black and white in the Bible. And we've grappled with the questions that are gray in the Bible. You know there's certain things that are gray in the Bible? Once saved, always saved. It's a gray area. I'm not going to go there. I can. But those are the things we've got to settle in our hearts. Because we're family. And you know why we do that? It's because God wants us here. And then with the greater Josh Chen, to be one. Yes.
I had a very interesting question this last week. And the question was the following. How do I surrender everything to Jesus? Where do I start? And how do I do that?
Wait, okay, wait. Ask again. I didn't listen. That's 101 from philosophy.
The question was, how do I surrender everything to Jesus? And where do I start?
Okay, which of the elders want to answer that one? Dylan!
So just on the last thing, obviously when I got saved, I didn't know what to do. It's very difficult if you've grown up in a background where you're making the same mistakes over and over again. It's the old thing about trying to make things work in your life. And a question was asked to me was, how's that working out for you? Because even when you get saved, you think you still have an opinion and this, and you do, but you think you still have the answers to life. But actually, all the choices you've made up until this point has been wrong. You need to put people around you. You need to ask questions to those guys and take those questions and put them into action. Because if you're not doing that, then you're not moving forward. So you'll get stuck in your old way of thinking. And you won't ever get back to the place where God actually wants to take you because you have that opinion in your own heart. This is the way I've always done it. Well, how's it working out for you? You found yourself in this pit. You got to get out, and people are giving you ladders, and they're saying, use this ladder, but you're going, I can make my way out on the side. But you keep slipping and slipping and slipping. So if you ever want to, start trusting people, man, in this church. Find people that are walking in God, that are doing it well, and ask them how you can do it. So it comes down to that. So if you want to give your whole life to God, deny yourself. Your opinions, your life, because God's got a beautiful plan for us. And if we stick to that thing and we walk alongside people that are going to help us walk better with Jesus, you're going to find everything you need to do in God. That answer your question, Krista, I hope.
So one thing that even with this is we're not a one-man show. Have you guys realized that? Like, I'm not it. Andrew's not it. Like, we are plurality. The Bible talks about elders, not one person. Even Andrew, like, if you know that man, and there's many in this room that know him, that's been with him for years, his life is totally submitted, totally under authority. He's not, you know, we honor him, respect him, but it's us. We don't come up with our own ideas. So even this, just quickly bouncing off, going like, what do you think? Am I on the right track? What do you think? You know? And already this guy's coming out. And it is that thing of like, you know, it's in family that we are sanctified. It's in the priesthood of believers. How many times on a Sunday do we say, hey, it doesn't help I pray for you. Or just I pray for you. I'm not more special than this guy, than any of you. Same Holy Spirit lives in me, lives in you. And that's the thing. It's like we realize that as together, we're not just hearers of God's word, but we are doers of God's word. And as we step out in faith, doing what we read in the word of God, we become more like Jesus. And God's going to stretch us, you know. He's definitely going to stretch us in those areas. Do you want to quickly share just what you...
Yeah, so one of the strange things about being saved is that we do get saved, but it's also a process of being saved. So there's this moment where you surrender your life, but then you start walking it out. And sometimes there are things that you surrender over time. So let's say there's a habit like Byron referred to, smoking. It's very difficult, and sometimes the Holy Spirit can lead you to break it off immediately, which is wonderful. But sometimes it's the thing you need to walk out. I mean, have you ever wondered why we need to eat all the time? Why can't we just eat once and be full? Because it's nice. It's nice to eat. I enjoy eating. So the point is we are being saved. And as we walk this out with people around us, as we are accountable, maybe that's another word, what is accountability? We can address that. But as we walk things out with someone, like let's say Steph and I, we walk out our finances together. Steph, like I want to do this, but I just want to walk. I just want to check with you. I know I'm not perfect. Okay, who in this room is perfect? My wife isn't here. Okay, shoot. But the point is, brownie points. The point is, we are not perfect. We need guidance in our lives. And we need people to walk these things out with us. That's why we're a family. That's why we get together at 8:30. No, we don't sneak in at 10 past 9 and go, okay, cool, I'm here. The point is to interact. How are you doing? How is this thing? How are you walking out the smoking thing? How's it going with you and swearing? It's family. It's accountability. It's because we love you. It's not because we want to justify or judge you. That's not what it's about. Okay.
Good, eh? Is this helpful? Is this helpful? Okay. So maybe let's just quickly stretch our legs. Stand up. We've been sitting for a while. If you need a stretch, you know, just reset. Don't get chatting. Because I don't want to keep us too much longer because the poor kids' church workers have got your kids. Just joking. Okay. Okay, let's take our seats. So again, a lot of these are general Christian sort of like, you know, the things that are important. I think for us, you know, when I talk about values again, like in my house, and I'm literally just thumb sucking this, so it's not like a real thing, but in my house, I don't care if my kids jump on the couch. Is that going to save them? It's not going to not save them. But in your house, you go, I don't want kids to jump on my house. That's a value on your house, on your couch. Don't jump on my house. But does that make sense? So it's not always a right and wrong. When it comes to the Word of God and building God's church, there's definite black and white right and wrong ways of to do it. There's ways to do it. But then there's those certain things that it's a value. But every single value that we do builds God's church. So we've got to be very careful how we build. So one of the values for us is that we trust people. Love, trust. So, that's the kind of leader I am. I trust you because God's in you. Are we going to get it right? No. Are you going to maybe say something you shouldn't? Maybe. But then we say sorry and we move on. Where other people, the value for them is you do not give this mic to anybody. So, do you guys understand? So, just the value, some of the things that we do. One of the things for us as Melkbos specifically, we come out and worship in Frontier. It's a value for us. Why do we do that? We love kids. And can I say, with our children, we love children. No, we love our children. So that doesn't bug me at all. You know, because those kids are being trained. They hear. They're hearing the Word of God. In them, their value of coming to church is so ingrained in our children that they won't depart from it one day. So if a kid screams and makes a noise, honestly, if it bugs you, come sit a little bit closer and go ask the mom, hey, can I help? But it's, you know what I mean? That's family. Okay, sorry. Question.
So, through this process of sanctification, me and my wife have been discussing about being baptized again. What is that process? When do you know is the right time to be baptized again? And when do you know And who do you speak to go through that process?
So we've just this week, if for those of you who don't know, we've had 3 baptisms this week in a community. Been incredible. I won't call the guys out, but honestly, I saw them on Thursday night after Wednesday night's baptism, and they just had the biggest smiles on their faces, just because, you know what they realized? They realized, yes, some of them might have were baptized either as a kid or earlier in the Christian walk, but what happened is they realized in that moment is like, God, I'm not fully surrendered to you. I still live for myself. It's all about me. Where baptism, what the Bible speaks about, it is dying to yourself and being raised with Christ. So who do you speak to? Speak to any of the leaders or, to be honest, any saint. You guys can baptize people. You know that. I don't have to baptize everyone. You're welcome to baptize. If someone gives their heart to the Lord, lead them in and say, hey, do you want to get baptized? Explain why. Do you know how to explain baptism to someone? Maybe we should do that. Have a Sunday where everybody comes and explains how to. No, I'm just joking. But honestly, do you know how to explain that to someone? Because you are a child of God. You can do it. You can baptize someone. Doesn't have to be me. Doesn't have to be a leader. It is good to get leaders involved, to walk it out. So, yeah, again, that's the value. We include family. We bring leaders along because you realize if I just baptize someone on their own, and leaders don't know about it, the leaders are going to give an account for them one day. So my value is let's bring leaders along the way. Let's bring them alongside so that they can walk out with me, this person that just got saved. Does that answer your question? Oh, again, so second baptism. Bible doesn't speak about it. But Bible also says that you can't be baptized the second time. So for me, it's a faith journey. So for me, I know many here has been baptized twice. Does that mean your first baptism was false or wrong? Maybe not. Maybe in that moment you did it, but when life happened, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews, it says, do not conform to the ways of this world. Sometimes in our Christian walk, we call it, you don't hear this word in the Bible, but it is, you backslide. Who's heard of the word backslide? You go back to your former ways. You fall back into sin. You see that you're actually that one, you know, Timothy scripture that we read. Like you've become lover of self, lover of money, lover of everything you. And you go, God, in a moment again, I give myself to you. I actually want to publicly declare that I belong to you. Now that I'm in a family that can walk these things out with me. So publicly, I want to go, Lord, I want to baptize again. I die to myself. And as I come up, I'm raised with you. I understand why I do this. That's why often, even with children, we often take a while with children to get baptized because we want them to understand what they're doing. And that's the most important. Make sense? Okay. So a quick question. Someone asked anonymously. Thank you for this question. Very good question. Some people say you don't have to go to church to be saved. What are your views on that? So firstly, I want to say my view means nothing. It's not my view. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about can I be saved on my own? So what a lot of people do, they use the scripture of the thief on the cross when Jesus was dying. So when Jesus was crucified, he did die, but he rose again. They use that scripture and say, you don't have to be in church because that guy was never in church. He never had the chance to be in church. Let's just be realistic about it, okay? He could not go to church. Secondly, what is the most important thing for Jesus? Have you ever thought of that? What is the most important thing to Jesus? The church, the body. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus came and he says, I will build my church. He lays down his life for his bride, which is the church. The most important thing to Jesus is you. He came for you. He laid down his life for you. So for us to be so bold to say, I don't need church, I often wonder if you are truly saved. If you are truly saved, you understand God's ways. You understand that I am grafted into a body. I am a part of the body of Christ. You will realize that it's in the church that you are being saved. You understand? Even Jesus speaks about pruning. And he says, those that don't bear fruit, he cuts off and throws in the... And what is that cutting off? That's cutting off from the church. Because that's the body. That's the root. So from what I see in the Word of God is that I don't know. I don't know. If you live on an island somewhere in the middle of nowhere, you and your family, the Lord appears to you, you get saved, there's no other people around you, you try and find, you somehow got a Bible there, I think you might make it. But what if I got hurt in church? Because that's the other thing. But the church hurt me. I totally get it. I've been hurt by the church. And what does Jesus say? Again, you go back to what is the Word of God. Jesus says, forgive, not just once, not just 7 times, 70 times 7 times. And you come with that hurt and you bring it to leaders that God might be joining you to. I want to say, if you've been hurt in any church, come talk to me, man. Come talk to us as elders. We get it. And can I say, if you don't, you will get hurt again. Because the devil is there to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to keep you out of the church. Our fight's not against flesh and blood. Fight's against the principalities. He wants to keep you out of this because he knows that's the answer to the world, is the church. Don't not come to church. Don't. The Bible says don't neglect the gathering of the saints. Even if your wife is sick in bed, don't neglect it. Do you guys feel the weightiness of that? It's not for my sake, it's for your sake. Is that, I hope that answers the question. For anybody? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So the book of Malachi, it speaks about that. In the book of Malachi, it actually speaks about we are one. And that's Old Testament. Go read it. Malachi 3, verse 16 and 17. You'll see what we mean. So the one value I want to say is that we build with the Holy Spirit. So do we love the Word of God? I build my life on the Word of God. I read the Word of God every single day of my life. I meditate on it. I study it. I find Scripture. But when it comes to this, I go, Lord, what are you wanting to do? We follow being in step of the Holy Spirit. And that might look different. And you know what it looks like on a Sunday? Can I read us a scripture to show what Sunday should look like? You guys keen to hear this? Put on 2 Corinthians 14, verse 26. And probably till about 29, I think it is. 2 Corinthians, did I say 14? There's no 14, okay. I read my Bible every day. 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14. Okay. Hold on, I think it's 12. Where is the scripture? That's it, 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. Got it. So while that, you know that we don't come, and I think you guys know this, but I do want to say it. We don't come to entertain anybody on a Sunday. I don't come to give my best preach. And well, we literally here, for me it is, how do I come to please God? I honestly don't care if anybody comes back, but I care if God comes back. That's a big difference. We can build church for people, or we can build church for God to make his home in. It's a big difference, eh? I'll read us something now around that. Okay, so then, brothers, when you come together, okay, actually, can you put on this is ESV. Do NLT for me, please. NLT is quite good. just the NLT version. Again, you might ask about versions of the Bible. Just ask us. There's some good ones. There's some not so good ones. Okay, so then, well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize what I'm saying. So Paul writing to the church, and he's going, let me summarize what it looks like when you come together on a Sunday. Because that church had chaos in their meetings. And listen, the last couple of Sundays, we haven't had chaos. I've been in meetings that has been chaos. Now, again, through what lens do you see church? So you could be brought up, like myself, in a Dutch Reformed church, or you could be in a Dorper Anglican. Some of us coming from different flows or denominations of church. So how do you see church? What is your experience of church? You've got to come and bring that and say, God, I want to submit what I've seen and grew up in church actually to your word and measure it against the word of God. So even for us on a Sunday here, Jesus says that your traditions nullify the word of God to the disciples. What are our traditions in Josh, Jen, Malkbor, Strand that can nullify God's word? Have you ever thought of that? I often think of that. I go, God, is our tradition of making pancakes, if it stops your word from being preached, those pancakes are gone. Please don't take the pancakes. But you hear what I'm saying? The heart behind it? What are our traditions? Is our tradition of every single Sunday we time, that can stop God's word. Because God's word is the most important. So you guys get the heart. We never want our traditions, even for what we might seem as freedom, might become a tradition. If it does, we stop it. Because God, your word, and the way you want your church to be built is more important than whatever it is. Okay, so when you come together, let me summarize. When you meet, one will sing. Okay, so this morning, no one sang. Who wants to quickly sing something? Okay. So this is what it looks like when we come together. Now think about the last couple of Sundays and what you've guys, remember this morning, we're pausing, we're just talking about the things of the Lord, you know, what God has been doing. So think about the last couple of Sundays. When you meet, one will sing. It was beautiful 2 Sundays ago. Just the lady coming up, just going, I feel the song. That song broke things open. It was beautiful, man, because God's in her, you know. Another will teach. Sometimes it's me. Sometimes it's someone else. Someone will teach. There's teachings in the house of God. Another will tell some special revelation God has given. Often that happens. Hey, during worship, I saw this, or I felt God say this. We live that way. We practice it on a Sunday. And we do that orderly because we don't just want chaos. Imagine everybody just grabs the mics and, you know. So as elders that God has put in charge to direct the affairs of the church, we do that on a Sunday. We go, let me hear. Yes. Because we don't have it all. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the things. So someone might come share a special revelation from God that they received. And I want to say, if God gives you any revelation, come share it, man. Like you're part of the family. I want to hear. I want to hear what God is saying. Okay. One will speak in an unknown language. Have you been in services like that? Where someone speaks in an unknown language? Everybody goes, yeah, I'm glad I'm not leading that meeting. But you know what? That's beautiful. I'm not scared. If someone comes and shares a tongue, I'm not scared. It's beautiful. Often through my walk with the Lord has used me to bring tongues into church that I would feel something. And I can tell you, in that moment, I know that I know it's God. Something is there. And then the interpretation would come. Because that's what it says. You know, and while another will interpret what he said. We are spiritual beings. Eternal spiritual beings in a temporary physical place. Those languages are spiritual. We, one day, when we are in heaven, we're going to hear things I don't think we would even understand right now. We will see colors and forms and things because God is not bound by what we see. He's way more bigger than that. So don't get freaked out if there's someone speaking in a tongue. I can pray in my natural tongue, and I'm not going to go into a tongue teaching now. We can. If you need to know the differences between your personal tongue and a tongue on a Sunday, I can totally explain that. But there's sometimes I pray in my tongue. The Lord has given me a tongue. The Bible says it edifies. I build up. I don't often, when I pray for you, I don't always know what to pray. Shaul, Lord, what I pray for Shaul? I don't know what he's going for. Okay, Lord, I'm thinking about Shaul. Ooh, Lord, I pray for his marriage. Okay, I pray for his family. That's how I pray. Because the Bible says if I pray in a tongue, God reveals mysteries to us. We don't know what we pray for. But then you get a tongue in church when someone comes up and you can see they're shaking because the Holy Spirit is all over them. It doesn't always happen that way. But then there's interpretation, two or three. That's what Sundays look like. But everything that is done must be useful to all and build them up in the Lord. So I want to honestly ask, the last couple of Sundays, have you walked out of this place going, I'm built up. I'm full of faith. God was in the house. I might not understand everything, but jeepers, like, I want to come back. Who's been like that? And if not, I want to say, ask why. If that's not you, if you feel like I've got more questions than answers, come ask those questions. Because it's important. You're part of the family. But this is what church looks like. Next scripture, verse 27. Sorry, I didn't. One thing I want to, while he gets that, I want you guys, one thing I've heard often is that we stir up emotion and from of that the presence of God comes. Have you heard that? Okay. I want to say, if we do that, please come and tell us. I never want to play on your emotions. We never want to play on your emotions. As elders, we can't manipulate you and this or that. It's not about that. But at the same time, I want to say, we emotional beings. Who of you have been in the presence of God and without control, you just weep? Without control, you just full of joy, you laugh. I've had moments in the Lord where I just can't contain it, that I will scream out because he's inside of me, the bigness of who he is. Incredible seeing him. It's emotion. We don't use emotion to bring God's presence. God's presence is with us, but in his presence, allow him to touch your emotion, man. It's beautiful. Cry, shout, scream. But we never want to use that as a manipulative tool to bring God's presence. And honestly, if we do that, like, it's not the Lord. Okay. I think there's someone that might be struggling with that. Okay. No more than two or three should speak in an unknown language. We'll definitely curb it at some point when there's too many unknown languages. We go, whoa, whoa, whoa. They must speak one at a time, and someone must be ready to interpret what they are saying. Does it go on? Let's get up to there. Okay. So does that answer your questions? That's what it looks like when we get together. I'm going to say Wednesdays, home group leaders, let that be. That's a gathering. Okay. So we can go on, but I'm feeling like just, is this helpful? Is there anybody with like a burning question that you go, please answer this question? Come on, ask it. I just want to see if someone else messaged me as well. I think it will reach.
Last question.
Yeah, so I used to have this question when I came fresh into church and everything was still very new for me, but maybe some people here have the same question. So when I came into church, I didn't know that if you are fully saved, that you can still have some demons hiding inside yourself. And so when it was worship and the Spirit was flowing, then people would start shaking and falling on the floor and just freaking me out completely. And I think I felt unsafe, that the devil was masquerading as light inside the church, and now you're busy with doing the devil's work and everybody's thinking it's the Lord moving. So I don't know if somebody has a question.
Okay, so that is a good question. What happens when the Spirit of God is in a place? Honestly, demons should flee. Okay? And I want to say, as a Christian, can you have demons? Yes. Okay. So, but please don't be freaked out by it. please don't be. Like, come and talk to us, man. Say there's something in me that's not right. But we see it throughout the Word of God. God, wherever the Spirit of God is, God brings freedom and liberty. And, you know, and we want to live our lives. There's actually a whole teaching we can do on that, because it is quite an in-depth kind of thing. But don't get freaked out when a demon manifests on a Sunday or on a Wednesday or in the week. I've sat with someone in coffee shops and demons freak out. It's a little bit awkward. Okay? But we've got authority. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Okay? We know our authority in Jesus. So don't be scared. Demons can't attack you. Demons, they can. There is things if you open doors, and that's what I'm saying. It's a teaching. It's not just a quick answer. And maybe it's something we can prepare. Some of the elders, I know Dylan, you're quite good with that. Maybe prepare something on. Sorry, Dell. Honestly, Dylan and Oleen, there's a gift on their life about walking people in freedom with specifically the demonic. And maybe it's good for them just to come and share one Sunday or in a home group if you've got questions. But it is. We don't have to be scared. Again, we know our standing and our place in the Lord Jesus. Okay. So there was a couple of other questions all around church. You know, what if you, like, a different church? I wouldn't say, find a home, man. Find a place where you can belong, where you're family, where you're not just a number. Like, I was telling someone in the week, if we grow in this place and we pack out the hall, we'll multiply. I don't want to build a church that's, I know Andrew's heart is this as well. We don't want to build a place where there's 5,000, 6,000 people meeting in one hall, because what happens to you? Can I tell you? You become a number. No one knows you. No one knows your name. No one knows who you are. That's not church. That's not family. I want to know you. There's people that in here that people know you. People know your name. So open up your life. Open up your heart. Say, come, talk to me. Like, what can I, how do I become more like Jesus? That's ultimately the question you've got to ask. Ask someone this week, what must I change to become more like Jesus? Ask someone. It's a tough question. Don't ask your wife, because she'll have a list. I'm joking. I was just seeing that. But maybe ask your wife. Maybe ask your wife. And be man enough to take it. Okay. Was that helpful? Okay. Worship team, I want to honor you guys. They were here at 6:30 this morning, man. And again, we can sing a song for the sake of singing a song, but I feel like God did something in our hearts this morning. Do you feel like just together? Do you guys feel that? Do you feel like there's a knitting of our hearts? And I want to honestly say, as leaders, as elders, deacons, home group leaders, we never want you to have questions. God doesn't want you to have questions. Ask. But I want to say, come ask us, because we've got values. And I want to explain values a little bit more at a later stage. But there's certain things that we see in the Word of God. And it's not our values. It's the biblical values. It's not Josh Jen's way. It's God's way. It's the Bible's way. How do we see it? And what is the outworking of that? And so please, even in this week, even in communities, ask. If your community leader doesn't know the question, it'll come to us. I don't know all the answers. I've got people I go ask. So, amen. Does any of the elders want to add anything? Good. Good. Any of the deacons, you guys want to add something? No? Cool. Where's the deacons? Don't you guys want to stand quickly? And home group leaders, don't you guys want to stand? Just that everybody can see who's the home group leaders, who's the these guys lay down their lives for you, man. Incredible. And I want to say, you know, get to know, go visit communities. If you're in a community, give yourself in that community. You know, that's how we learn one another. So, amen. Okay, this morning was different, but I believe God was in it, you know. So, come, let's pray, and then we go have more pancakes, more coffee, get your kids, and then we can go into the week. Lord Jesus, Father, we want to build a house that you can dwell in, Lord. We want to be faithful men and women, God, that our heart is for you to be here, God. And we want to build a place, Lord, where your name will be glorified and where people's lives will be changed, not because of us, but because of you, God. So, Lord, our heart, even as elders and what we're picking up from you, God, is that this will be a safe place, Lord, where people can learn your ways, can learn what is important to you, God, and have the freedom and the liberty to ask questions and to walk out their faith in fear and in trembling and in delight and in joy and in everything that you've got for them, Lord. So I want to pray, Lord, this morning that our hearts will be settled. But more than that, God, if we've got more questions, that we'll be bold and courageous and come and ask, Lord. But build your church here, God. Build your church.